Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Jesus feeds 5,000. One of many miracles of Jesus would make a great newspaper headline, Jesus feeds 5,000 plus. But I think the world today would probably have a headline that would read, Jesus hurts local grocery stores. And they would probably think that it was genetically altered, otherwise how did he get so much food? To the best of my knowledge, outside of the death, burial, and resurrection, this is the only miracle of Jesus listed in all four Gospels. Think about it. Why did God repeat himself? Because he needed filler text for the Scriptures. He was running short. No, because there's very powerful truths here for us. He repeated it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In Matthew 14, you can read this story. Mark 6, Luke 9, and John 6. And for God to repeat himself four times, granted, each one gives a little different insight here or there. But fundamentally, the story is there. Jesus feeds 5,000 plus people. God must want us to get some very powerful truths from this passage. I believe you could preach on this many times and never exhaust it. Let us consider our text. We're going to use Matthew 14. We're going to glean from other parallel passages, but this will be fundamentally our passage. Matthew 14, 13, when Jesus heard of it, the death, the beheading of John the Baptist, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." And they say unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, "Bring them hither to me." Verse 19, "And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed, and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were all filled, and took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children." Well, the context is John the Baptist, the forerunner who blazed the trail for Jesus, has recently been beheaded. The disciples took the body, laid it in a tomb. You can see that in Mark 6. And following that event is our story, our study for today. Matthew 14, 13, when Jesus heard of it, the death of John. And I want you to think about this. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship. He's God in the flesh. He already knew before he came to this earth that John was going to be beheaded. This did not surprise him. Verse 13 of Matthew 14, when Jesus heard of it, it didn't say when he learned it. He already knew it. But in his flesh, he waited till he heard it. And in his flesh, it was brought to his attention. And apparently those around, and of course the disciples knew it. He departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. He has just learned of his cousin John's death. He heard of it. He heard it. He already knew it. And surely, this was on him. There was none worthy like John. What a man. And Jesus goes out to a desert place. And when they heard of it, they followed him on foot out of the cities. People flocked to see this man. A multitude came. We can only assume of this crowd there were all sorts of diverse opinions and attitudes towards spirituality, towards Jesus, towards Rome, and on and on and on. I want us to consider this multitude and Jesus Christ with the disciples, and I want to get three key points and then follow up with some conclusions here. As we think about this, Jesus Christ and this multitude comes to him in a desert place, the first thing I want us to get, it all began with compassion, a feeling of sympathy and to pity. Quote, "And he was moved with compassion toward them, partly on account of their bodily infirmities, which were very many and great, and partly on account of the bad situation they were in, through want of spiritual pastors to feed them with the bread of life." Please read Mark 6:34. This is the same story now, a different vantage point. "And Jesus, when he came out and saw much people, moved with compassion toward them." Why? Because they were sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach. Oh, the people need to hear the word of God. This is the truth of all time. It is the bread of life. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And these people did not hear, and Jesus had compassion. You need taught. The most important thing I can give you folks is the word of God, and that's what he was doing. All which shows the truth of Christ's human nature. He was merciful, and he was concerned with both bodies and the souls of men. Think about the compassion of Jesus on this multitude. Matthew 14:14. "Jesus went forth, saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion." And what did he do by that compassion? He healed their sick. And as we already saw in Mark 6:34, look again. "And he was moved with compassion toward them because they were sheep not having a shepherd. And he had compassion on them." In Matthew 14:16, "But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give them to eat." He had compassion because they had the bodily need to eat. So it is, Christ had compassion. First of all, they needed teaching. Second, they needed healing. And third, they needed food. This is the God that we serve. This is the God that is heaven, that has sent his only begotten Son to pay the sin debt of the world. He is a compassionate God. And how many times are people deceived into thinking that God is this awful God and the best thing we can do is stay off of his radar? No, the best thing we can do is to be in his presence, to realize we're in his presence, to be led by his Holy Spirit, to confess that we're sinners, to recognize our need of salvation, and as a Christian, to yield your body daily to serving him. He is a merciful, compassionate God. You see, Christ saw this multitude and he had compassion. When the disciples saw this multitude, all they saw was an impossible task. Is that not the nature of humanity? And these are the men who are walking closely with Jesus Christ. Tell them to go away. That's not what Jesus had in mind. Let me quote, "Jesus' disciples wanted to send the people away because evening was approaching." And here they are in this remote place and the sun is going down. Look at Matthew 14:15. "When it was evening, his disciples came to him." This is a desert place. The time is past. Send them away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. They knew these people had to have provisions, lodging, food, safety. So their conclusion was, Mark 6:36, "Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." But Jesus Christ had a better idea. No, he said in Matthew 14:16, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." We like to think that at this point the disciples remembered the miracles that they'd already seen and that they would really be excited about this. Great, we're going to see another miracle. But they didn't. What are we going to do? John verse 8, "And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him," well, there's a lad here. He's got 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Well, at least he's starting to think. Everybody else wanted to send them away. And he said, well, if we're going to do that, here's all we have. Jesus, do you get the picture yet? This isn't going to fly. Because look what he says at the end of verse 9, John 6, 9. What are they among so many? How many times here we are walking with the God that created this universe, the God that sustains this universe, the God who is the God of everything, and where's our attitude? You know, Lord, this just isn't going to work. And Philip said, John 6, 7, Philip answered and said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Well, Philip, he started to academically analyze the situation. He was doing a cost analysis of this thing. He calculated man hours in the work to feed these peoples, and he realized, you know what, this isn't going to work. But Jesus had a different approach, and he bypassed all human effort and was about to do the impossible. Do you understand how our lives would truly change if we trusted God? Truly! We say we trust God, then stop worrying. Concern, yes, we need to tend to things in life. But worry is a terrible affront to God. If I can save your soul for all eternity, you don't think I can take care of you for a few short years here on this earth? Philip and Andrew reasoned with Jesus. Do you reason in your prayers? Lord, I just, look here. Here is my checkbook, Lord. The money is not there. You got it? Okay, you got this? And God is saying, I am not slave to the American dollar. I am not slave to fish and loaves. I am the God of everything. And even if they did have the resources, earthly speaking, they did not have the resources, but even if they did, how could these 12 disciples get to town, find enough food, carry it back, and then serve it? Remember, it's evening. It is not possible, dear God, to feed this multitude. And earthly speaking, they were right. Because we tend to reason with ourselves and with our limitations. And yet there's a degree of blessing in that, because when you get backed into a situation and you realize, dear God, this one is absolutely beyond me. You have me in a place I have no choice. The options are gone. The only thing I can do is trust you. And that's when God says, you're ready for this one? And when it's all said and done, you go, that was incredible, and God got all the glory. And I believe many times God allows that so that we will give him the glory, and we cannot even reason it through. Well, yeah, but you know, this other kid had a bunch of fish and no. Earthly speaking, this is impossible. And God is going to get all the glory. And yet, if you read on in this passage, you read also that the disciples that very night were caught in a storm on the Sea of Galilee. And only one had the guts to get out of that boat and walk on water. And all the others, you know what they did? I don't see any record of prayer. They all rowed hard. We're back to our own labors. How quickly we forget. That very day, when that multitude came to the desert place, the disciples were there, and what did we already read? Jesus had compassion because they were sheep without a shepherd. So what did he do? He taught them. The disciples heard the very words that these people did. You need the word of God. And they sat there and listened to the word of God. And then when Jesus said, we need to feed them, they said, we can't. Can you see Jesus? Did you hear anything I just preached to them? Did you hear anything? You've heard this story, right? The preacher went out hunting with several of the men from church. And they were deer hunting. And all of a sudden, this deer appears. And all 3 men point their guns at that deer and shoot exactly at the same moment. And the deer drops. And the one man says, well, it's a hard climb down there. I'll go down, I'll check out the deer, and we'll see who got it. And the man crawls down through the thickets and down across the rocks and fallen down trees, and he calls up to him, the preacher got him! And they yelled back, "How do you know the preacher got him?" "Because the bullet went in one ear and out the other." How quickly we forget the messages that God has given us. They heard that day the same teaching these people did, and yet they're reasoning with Jesus, "We can't do this." How many of you are going to walk out the back door and say, "Lord, the situations before me cannot be done"? Yes, they can. Have faith in God. They may not turn out the way you think they're going to turn out, but they will turn out. Have faith in God. How often are we like the disciples? We see miracles and yet we doubt. Consider Romans chapter 1, verse 20. "For the invisible things of Him," the invisible things of God from the creation, "are clearly seen." You do realize that if you look at the creation, it tells you much about God. In other words, we are literally living in a miracle. It is a miracle that the earth continues to rotate day and night. It's a miracle we stay in place. It's a miracle that you take your next breath. It's a miracle that life goes on and on and on. I mean, I could just go down the list. And yet, how many times do we live in miracles and we miss it? So it is, folks. We live in a world of miracles all the time. And yet, how often do we forget God is still in control and He cares for you? First, God was a God of compassion. Jesus Christ had compassion on those people. Second great truth I want you to get from this story is one food satisfied all. When Christ fed the mass of people, He had 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. John 6:9. "There's a lad here who hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" So it is, we have 5,000 men, and it says beside women and children. What could it have been, up to 10, 15,000 people? Matthew 14:21, "They that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children." This is the miracle that Jesus did. He could feed them all. "Bring them thither to me, these fish and loaves." He calls for them. And in John 6:11, "And Jesus took the loaves when He had given thanks." Whatever your situation, in this case it's feeding of 5,000 plus people. Whatever your situation, you be thankful for the resources that God has given you. You yield those resources to Him and let Him work His almighty miracles and plans and powers and purposes for your life. Whatever situation you are in, you take what humble resources God has given you and say, "These are yours." And leave it up to Him. Jesus had given thanks. He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. Every person got to eat as much as they want. Look at Matthew 14:20. "And they did all eat and were filled." I don't like fish. "Don't you have any beef?" They were all full. They were all satisfied. I think here we've got a glimpse into the Word of God. Is this not what He did when He saw the people there? He had compassion because they needed a shepherd, somebody to teach them the Word of God. And that one Word of God went out to every age group of every need. And they were all filled and took up fragments that remained. He gave more than they needed. Mark 6:43, "They took up 12 basketfuls of fragments." The disciples possibly were probably thinking, "Okay, we've all got a basket now." Remember, 12 disciples, 12 baskets. "Ready, guys, start passing." And it comes back down the row again, and it's like, there's still more fish and loaves. Pass to the next row. There are a lot of rows. Oh, this thing's still... And what they must have been thinking, God shattered their expectations. Earthly speaking, this is impossible, and you have things in your life that, earthly speaking, they are impossible. Leave it with God. 1 Corinthians 1:27, "God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, And God has chosen the weak things of this world to confound things which are mighty. This is when God gets the glory. Oh, well, some wealthy guy who owned a restaurant in town showed up with his chariot, and here's a bunch of fish and loaves. Boy, and he has got vegetables and fruits. Didn't need it. God chose the simple thing. Give me a little boy with some fish and loaves, and let's start passing. And this is when God gets the glory. Quote, mark here too that there was one food for all these thousands. The rich were there journeying to Jerusalem, and the poorest of the poor were there from the rude huts by the lakeside. Yonder were the quick merchants from the cities. Here lolled the farmhands on the fields. There was a mother crooning to her babe, and here were the children romping on the green. Old men were there with the first glow of heaven about them, and young men with the first glow of earth. And Jesus fed them all with the same bread. The strange thing is that no one scorned the victual. All ate, all were filled. No swift relays of courses had ever been so sweet as the single dish with Jesus on the hill. Now the wonderful thing about Christ, the living bread, is that he satisfies us all. What a great gulf between the Jew of Tarshish and the ignorant fishers of Bethsaida. What a world between the gentle Lydia and the rude jailer at Philippi. Yet the power of Christ that made a man of Peter was no less mighty in the heart of Paul. And the love of God that won the love of Lydia conquered the jailer too. In all love, says a thinker, there is something leveling. And the love of God is the great leveler of all ages. It knows no social barriers. It is not powerless where temperaments differ. It comes to all this one glorious gospel of the grace of God, and all may feed and be satisfied. Got it? What's your problem today? The answer is spirituality. It's in the Word of God. They all ate and they were all satisfied. The Bible truly has the answers for life. For young, old, male, female, rich, poor. It has passed the test of time, past, present, and it will endure into the future, and every possible situation of life can be handled by the Word of God. One food satisfied all. Jesus said, there is no need to depart. Give them to eat. One recognizes how that in that great crowd were various ages. The Gospels leave no doubt of that. There were children, probably mothers could not come without them. We know, too, that there were schoolboys from the presence of the lad who gave his lunch. One likes to think of the children in the crowd wondering at everything and knowing nothing, and of the schoolboys rejoicing in a holiday. Little feet and little brains were there, and dirty, pushing, irritating boys, some who had just left school and started life, and some who had quite recently been married, and many in the mid-time of their lives, and some who were going down to the grave. And the Lord looks and says to them, they need not depart. I have something for everyone. So it is, this is the God that we serve. He has compassion. He has one food that satisfies all. And there is no need for us to depart because he is the answer to any and to all of our problems in life situations. The third key point I want you to get is God works through people. John 6:10. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. Jesus has now employed the very men that didn't think it could be done. Watch this. And it wasn't like they all said, okay, you know, Jesus, we reasoned this out with you. Okay, now we get it. No, they went in obedience. And you have to wonder if in their flesh, some of them were thinking, this isn't going to fly. But we don't read that. We do know this, that God has chosen these men to participate in an impossible task. Is God calling you to an impossible task? Hang in there. God will get the glory, not you. And you're going to hopefully have your faith strengthened by the experience. The truth is, Jesus could have snapped his fingers and everybody had a plate full in front of them, but he chose not to do that. As he often does, he chooses to use people. He chose to use 12 men and the little boy that was willing to give up his lunch. And he worked through that to feed this mighty multitude. He looked up to heaven, he blessed and broke the loaves and gave before the disciples. And they started to divide this little bit among everybody. Andrew was probably wondering, what's going on? Philip, this isn't going to work. But Jesus Christ took what the disciples gave him, and he said, now, you guys, start passing. As they passed the baskets, the miracle occurred in silence. There was no grand show. Everybody get the TV cameras over here. You ready? And he walks up on the stage. Are you guys ready? You see these fish and loaves? There was no show of the miracle whatsoever. None. It was imperceptible. It was in silence. It occurred in these little baskets as they were passed. And by the way, God did not multiply their efforts until they gave it away. If you wait for God to start to multiply it before you give it away, don't expect it to multiply. You start to give it away and you just keep wondering, I don't get it. And you start to look back and you say, do you understand we started with this? And do you realize all that God has done? Yeah, he multiplied a little bit here as you gave it away. There was no show made over the presentation of this miracle. It was very low profile. And the truth is, they really didn't start to appreciate the miracle until they started to look back. Do you realize these baskets aren't going empty? Hey, Peter, is your basket full? Yeah, it's still full. How about you, John? How about you, Andrew? Yeah, it's still full. Almost imperceptibly. Many times we don't see the hand of God per se as he moves the events of our life, but trust me, he's moving. And day by day, a little here, a little there, and God is working his perfect will. Let us realize that God works through people. And many times when you start to pray for something, Lord God, who's going to do this? Don't be surprised when he's talking to you. What does this miracle mean to us? Well, a lot of things. We're to give what little we have and God increases it. Are you tired and yet God has asked you to do something? Go the extra few steps. Go. Just a little bit more. Whatever it is that God has laid on your heart, and sometimes you say, oh Lord, I just can't. God says, maybe a little more. Now I understand there does come a saturation point. But maybe sometimes you could do just a little bit more and you say, okay, I'll do it, whatever it is. And when it's all done, it's like, where did I get the energy to do that? And God says, because you gave me what you had. Often in hindsight, we look back at the wonder-working hand of God. Do you realize what we just came through? Do you realize what just happened? And you start to look back and you said, only God could pull that off. When we do his will, he blesses our efforts beyond human ability. And therefore, God gets the glory in these situations. And as we give, and as we take the few things that God gives us, and we give it away, and we give it away, and give of ourselves, and of our time, and of our energy, and many times at the end of the day, we're tired, and we've given and given. Look what Proverbs says, Proverbs 11:24. There is that scatters. You give and give and give, and yet you increase. Now, granted, there's him that withholds more than's meet. Well, I can't do that. You withhold, and it tends to poverty. But you scatter, and you give, and you increase. This is a biblical principle. But God doesn't give the increase until you start giving it away. Because if you hold more than you ought, he says it tends to poverty. I'm not going to bless it. It says here they gathered the fragments. John 6:12. When they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above them which they had eaten. Now the obvious here is 12 men started out and they have 12 overflowing baskets of fragments. They had more than what they started with. They had a few fish and loaves, And now they've got 12 baskets overflowing. This is the God that we serve. He says, gather it up that we don't waste anything. God provided an excess. It could be used another day. It showed his power. It showed his incredible concern and care. And it shows that all can partake of his blessings. He never runs short. Let us not waste anything in our lives, every moment, every opportunity while we have breath. Because there is coming a day when we will lie silent in the grave and we no longer can serve here on this earth. And we will be glad that we have redeemed every moment and every morsel of resource that God has entrusted to us. The disciples were obedient, and God multiplied what they were doing. Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, would you please present your body a living sacrifice? Lord, that's me. I'm tired right now. God says, come on, keep going. And you know what God does when you pass baskets? He did that day. Ephesians 3:20, now unto him God that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. You give it away and God is going to do more than you can even think. Ready? In your wildest imagination, come up with something fantastic and God says, you can't even get what I'm going to do. You can't even imagine it. This is the God that we serve. Was that all? Why did they gather these fragments? It was not merely to discipline the disciples that Jesus commanded the fragments to be gathered. We cannot read the story of his life, but we detect a care for the fragments through it all. The fragment of a day, how he employed it. The fragment of a life, how he redeemed it. The fragment of a character, how he ennobled it. Yes, that is the great passion, to love and lift our fragmentary lives till they be brought into the image of his own. You and I are a bunch of fragments. And God says, I want to gather you up and make you whole and complete, changed and conformed in the image of my Son. What a God we serve. He took fragments of fish and loaves that could be used again, and he takes the fragments of your life and my life, what a mess we've made. And he says, great. And through you, my goodness can shine. Let me work in your life. The truth is, there are things that are impossible for us, but not for God. He tells us this these days, Christians, we're to go out and share the good news of salvation. I can't save anybody's soul, but I can pass the basket and give the good news. Did you know that Jesus Christ died to pay for your sins so you could have eternal life? And God can save the soul. And once a sinner has trusted Christ as a Savior, then we can take and encourage each other in the Lord that we can walk in His Spirit and walk worthy of being a Christian. I can't make anybody do that. God can. All I can do is pass out the word. All I can do and you can do is be a signpost. Go that way. We can be an example. But God is the one that gets inside someone's life and opens up spiritual truth and make things happen. This is the God that we serve. He is still in the miracle business. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, it's not a matter of how do you get to heaven is because of my good works. It's have you trusted Jesus? Have you realized you have a sin debt and there's nothing you can do in your flesh to get rid of that sin debt? It's what Jesus did. He paid your debt on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. He shed his blood and paid your sin debt. I get it. I have a sin debt. Jesus paid it 2,000 years ago. I don't understand it all, but I believe Jesus paid his sin debt for me. Thank you, dear God. And the moment you believe, you have everlasting life. And then once you're a Christian, serve him and walk daily, having faith, even through the difficulties and the impossibilities of life, for he is there guiding and directing.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.